did.
I got my first club cap there about 3 weeks ago for three, 4 weeks ago for Blackrock. Wow. So, yeah.
No way.
Yeah. 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, yeah.
You played for Ireland before playing club rugby.
Yeah.
You're joking. Yeah. That is mad.
Yeah, so I suppose that's something that needs to be fixed.
Yeah, like that would never happen in the men's game.
Not like that.
Joe presents House of Rugby, United Rugby Championship, together with Bank of Ireland, proud supporter of the four Irish provinces.
Welcome back to House of Rugby. No Six Nations to look back on this week, guys, but plenty of URC with all four Irish provinces in action. As always, I'm joined by the lovely Megan Williams, Greg O'Shea. Megan, how was your week?
Great week. Well, I've been chained to the house because of the storm with a toddler, so it's been interesting.
Yeah. But it's good to be back on set. Unfortunately, no Six Nations to talk about. We did have URC. But before we get into all that, we have a great guest this week. Munster rugby player, Irish rugby player, 2021 Women's Young Player of the Year. And not only that, Women's 15 Player of the Year. We have the great Doherty Wallin. Thanks so much for joining us, Doherty.
Delighted to be here.
Great to have you in.
Yeah.
You're just off the back of a game yesterday.
Yeah, I'm a bit broke off now today, but I'm not too bad.
Yeah.
I'm ready to launch into this and all the analysis and whatnot. But sore, yeah.
And how did you get on yesterday?
Yeah, we won. We won. It was on Astra, so it was fast. So a good bit of meters under the belt. So
nice. It was a huge win against Bailey, wasn't it? 39-7?
Yeah, it was good. We had a few new players in the mix, so they ran through our processes and structure. So hopefully we're all firm for the final next weekend.
80 minutes in that wind and rain, I'd say, wasn't nice.
It actually, to be fair, we dodged the wind and rain, but it was a fast game. Yeah, I'm feeling it today.
Good stuff.
Well, Doherty, we've got 10 questions coming up later on the show for you. We promise they won't be too hard.
Okay,
so we'll go easy on you. But we'll kick things off first, guys, with our beloved Munster. Big win for them the weekend, 34-20 over Edinburgh. Three tries for Simon Zeebo. Bonus point.
Vintage Zeebo.
Vintage.
Yeah. He definitely stole the show, didn't he, with the three tries. Mm. But what do we think of him? Do you think he's still got what it takes to be getting back into the green jersey? Like, he's putting on great performances for Munster, but will he overtake the likes of Hansen, Lowe?
What do you think, Doherty?
Ooh, on the spot.
Coming in hot.
I think the quality that's coming up through the provinces in terms of Mac Hansen and, you know, James O is there. I'm not sure will he make it back in, but I think he's probably a fantastic mentor for the young lads in Munster, and to show them like he's got so much experience in an Irish jersey over in France and in Munster that I think he has loads to give back, and I think Munster is probably a great place for him right now. I could be wrong, but that's what I think.
His coach though, Van Gran, hailing him as like such a special player, so you're probably right, the experience.
Oh, I think he's unreal. Like, yeah. He's obviously such a character as well, but I think there's just such quality in the back three.
Yeah, I'd love to see Zeebo back in an Irish jersey. I don't know. There's just too many people there.
Competition is ridiculous. Yeah. Like,
if you could just start naming loads of them, as we always say, the Irish team is just so much depth at the moment, and they're all playing well. I would love to see Zeebo at 15 for Ireland. I just think he's so creative, and as you said,
Hugo Keenan. No?
Yeah, well, you can take a break for a while. He's been playing every single game.
Yeah,
he deserves
true,
a break.
Yeah.
I'd love to see Zeebo next. He's so creative. He's so well experienced that he could like start pulling the strings with two young wingers, but I just can't see him getting back in there at the moment. Like, just too many good.
It makes sense, as you said. If Keenan gets injured, I'd have Zeebo in there. Who else are you going to put in there? I don't like seeing Lamour back in fullback. I don't like seeing the likes of, well, it's like you could maybe put Lowry in there. Like, I'd like Zeebo in there.
I prefer Zeebo to Lowry now.
Would you?
I think so. Yeah. Okay. Well, Lowry's obviously playing really well, but I just think Zeebo's so creative, so much experience. Like, I'd trust him more
the
back
there. Yeah, experience and fullback, definitely. Yeah.
Seven tries and six starts. No, like, that's phenomenal. He recently overtook Anthony Foley for the highest European try scorer for Munster.
Oh, wow.
He's already Munster's highest try scorer, even though he was gone to France for 3 years.
Yeah, he's ridiculous.
It's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, pretty good. Yeah. Well, his weekend's work was fairly easy, you know, with three tries.
Yeah, he got himself in good places.
Yeah. He touched the ball five times, I think, and scored three tries.
Yeah, that's
he had a bit of work to do for the third one, but the first 2 hours.
He did.
Easy,
yeah. Well, but the other thing is people say that, and I shouldn't really be saying as well as an ex-winger, but you have to be in the places. Like,
absolutely,
you know,
yeah.
Do you know what I mean? A lot of people
need to seek it out. It's not you.
But
don't
is
just
he busy enough
there.
As a player? Because that's come back in time again. Like, is he busy enough? Does he get involved?
Because three tries.
Like, three tries on the wing, though.
Yeah, you think like showing up like James Lowe does.
Yeah, do you know, through the centres and coming off the wing, going to the other side.
That's probably the difference of what would get him into the Irish chat, like, you know, if he was doing things like that.
Yeah.
But you never know. We could all be eating our words now. Zeebo could be
could be a Mac Hansen all over again. Like,
sure, there's a New Zealand tour coming up this summer. Like, you could easily put him on that.
Exactly. There's plenty of games there. But we have some good clips from that game. The clip I thought was absolutely brilliant. It reminded me of that clip from the Beast years ago playing Super Rugby with Chris Clote taking Chris out far for a walk here. Brilliant.
Is that even legal?
Why? It's only a lift. It's just like he carries him for an extra...
But the run after was superb. I think he was so surprised. If you actually zoom in close to his face, I think he goes, "I'm sorry."
But it occurred to me, if he lets go of him there, like, he could end up being in. So fair play to Clote for having the strength. And like, if you see him, and like, he's an absolute mutant in the gym.
Oh my God, I'd say so.
He looks like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Like, he's a monster, but
he's a freak in the gym. Like, he always is. And he, Chris Farrell is not a small guy.
He's huge.
He's big. Yeah. Yeah.
6'3" or 6'4" and he's whatever 16 stone. He's big boy to be carrying on his shoulders. And
yeah, well, the thing about Chris Clote is he just can't be taking off a ball. When he locks in there, he's like
ridiculous.
A vice grip.
His poach is crazy.
Yeah. He's obviously not that tall, but he's just so
got the
strong.
Low center of gravity, and
he gets like 2 or 3 robs or steals a game, like, doesn't he? Yeah.
But despite the result, though, it was a big win for Munster. They didn't actually play that flawless. You know, they only had about 38% possession in the game.
Yeah.
It's been a while since we've seen a flawless Munster performance. No offense. Mm. But they're still the best stinger.
But another one actually was huge standout for me was, I think we have a clip for that as well, is the Craig Casey throw in. Like a spin throw under his arm over. That was brilliant. So hopefully we get to show that. Because I think, was that in Try of the Week?
It ended up being a try of the week because he flicked out the back to Calvin Nash, and then unfortunately for Calvin Nash,
that is beautiful. Beautiful.
Nash kicks it out in the full length. It's just so annoying for him, like, but incredible piece of skill.
Lovely bit of skill. I think he's been on a bit for Casey in particular. The pressure on him this year, people are saying he's not playing as well. He's having a bit of second season syndrome. The kid's only 22. Like, he's in the Ireland squad. He's starting for Munster. He's got a lot more responsibility this year.
But it's everyone else that's hyping him up, like, in his first year. Like, I think he's still equally as good as he was the first year. It's just that they expect him to keep accelerating at the same pace. Mm-hmm. Whereas I don't know if that's really fair, you know?
Mm. Do you feel that pressure yourself because you come in and started so well your career? Like, you feel like, I have to get better next year. I have to get better next year. I have to keep being as good. Is there a kind of pressure on you?
I feel like that's the nature of high performance, though. Like, if you get, if you become kind of stagnant in your position or not wanting to get better, then there's an issue. So I think everyone's trying to get better the whole time. It's just those who pull it off well are the ones you kind of notice the most, I think.
Go on, Lee.
I was going to say, there was another young player in the squad, Ben Healy. He's, booted 14 points for his team last night, and I thought he played incredibly well. Do you think he might get a chance to get a set up in the Irish squad?
Yeah, I don't know if he's there yet, to be honest. Mm. I think he's just still learning his craft down there, and he seems to be getting a lot of minutes with Munster, it's better for people to be with their clubs at that age. I think every week they're playing, and he kicked all his points. Mm. And there was chat a few weeks ago of him actually getting poached by Glasgow, I think.
He's got a Scottish grandfather or something. There was talks of him trying to bring him in, and because they don't really have too many backups in Scotland in terms of a second and third choice out half. Yeah. Talks, but he turned it down. He signed a deal at Munster.
He re-signed again with Munster. But what I was impressed with him was Zeebo's third try is when he came around the blind side and he actually showed a bit of a step.
Yeah. Through the graph
he did, exactly. He created that. Yeah. Which I thought was mad that the winger stepped in, and because, like, come on, Ben Healy's not the fastest guy on the pitch. Like, you don't need to step in. Stay out on Zeebo.
Completely fixed the winger, and then Zeebo was off, I thought.
Which is impressive because he's just kind of known as the kicking, distributing 10, which is able to play ball there, which is quite impressive. So exciting times. But do you think he's gonna get into the Irish team?
Well, I think it would be great for him maybe to be exposed to that level of training camp. Do you know, even if he doesn't play, just to get that experience in camp, just to maybe build his confidence and like the older players maybe can progress him along and show him what it takes.
Yeah,
might help.
I agree with you, but then if you think of so many people in Ireland at his level, like there's both Byrne brothers sitting there.
Both started the weekend and played well on Saturday.
Yeah, exactly.
But, the game time he's going to get, though, I think like that's going to stand him. Like getting consistent game time, I think that's going to be huge for him, like leading up.
I think that's why Jack Harty got so good this season again, because he's been playing every week out in the sports ground with Connacht, which is incredible to see. So it's good to have young fellas like that committing to Munster.
Definitely.
Yeah.
What about, I have the oldest player, Dave Kilcoyne's 200th appearance. That was huge.
He's not that old. Give poor Killer.
How old is he?
He's only 33 now. To be fair to Killer, like he doesn't get injured that often, and he's played like he's been there non-stop and he's a good player. I remember he did the last 5 minutes of the game, he put in that big massive tackle before he came off.
He brings serious intent. Definitely.
He loves it. He's the kind of guy that just plays with aggression. He enjoys it. He enjoys the aggression of it. Like, he's a lunatic in real life. Like, you know, you see
But he's actually the only he's the 12th player to ever get 200 caps for Munster, which is pretty huge. It's
really name the other 11 go. That'd be a good question for people in the comment section now.
That would be.
David Kilcoyne, he had a really good game though defensively. He kept shooting up out of line, which you'd be like, oh, where are you going as a prop? But like he smashed it every single time.
Yeah,
it was really cool. And at the end there where whoever he tackled got really pissed off and like started a fight with him, and then everyone started like really getting him up, and like you can see him, Ziba ran over and was like rubbing his head and stuff. So I love that stuff. It seems like they have a really good vibe now again in Munster. I just hope they can keep it going now, and with obviously Van Graan leaving, and he's thinking about bringing Clote with him. Did you hear about that?
Really?
Yeah. He talks about Chris Clote going over with him to back.
He's actually Irish eligible, but just somebody bloody back rows like
Clote.
Clote's Irish eligible, yeah. So he's been here, he got in here in the original 3 years. So he's eligible for the last like year or two. He's never got called up.
Had a few injuries? Has he had a lot of concussions? A
couple of bad ones, some concussions. He had that really bad arm injury at one stage, but he's a good player, but do you fit him in like, off the back rows?
Back row so attritional.
Are you saying that? And then Jack O'Donoghue, who's got how many man the matches in the
I know, yeah.
He can't get in.
Lassie's class.
A lot of Leinster back rows.
That's the thing. Like, Jack O'Donoghue is probably playing the best rugby he's ever played. And he has an Irish cap from a few years ago.
Yeah.
But at any other stage, I think, in the last couple of years, if he was playing the way he is now, he'd be in the back row for
Ireland. Condition is ridiculous.
He can't get in.
No.
Yeah. Which is crazy, like, but at least Munster benefit from it.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's nice for Munster to have those back rows there and not have to worry about let Leinster look after Ireland and let Munster.
Exactly.
That's the way it is. Come here. Like,
but so Edinburgh was still in the game. Like, they, on the 69th minute, Henry Pryguise was it?
Purgos,
but he's got a great try to keep the Scots in the game. It was kind of close at times.
They looked like they were there in the shot at one stage. But
there was a lovely try they scored down the right wing where I think with Jack O'Donoghue, he stepped in and made a poor defensive call, and Edinburgh just got a lovely try out of nowhere. So they can create stuff out of nowhere, but it's just their consistency, really. Edinburgh, I think they've slipped down the table a little bit, but they put on a decent performance. But Munster are really hard to beat in Thomond Park. I think that's six from six wins now in a row in Thomond Park, which is great to see. It's starting to become a fortress again now, isn't it, Jason?
There's, of course, Exeter to come now in a few weeks' time. Let's see how much of a fortress it is then. But fitting them.
Okay, we're going to jump into the Leinster beat Ospreys match. They're top of the league now with a bonus point victory, beating Ospreys 29-7. Jason, what do you think of that match?
Well done. Good ball. Thanks. Next game.
Why do you hate Leinster so much, man?
They really do.
It's more envy, is it?
Yeah, they played really, really well. It was great to see Lowe back in the pitch. That was kind of one of the big talking points.
Yeah.
And everyone's already been like, oh, James Lowe's going to be back in the Irish squad straight away. But what did you make of the match?
Oh, yeah, it was excellent. Like, they always seem to perform very well. But, like, it's kind of the entertaining, exciting rugby you want to see, like James Lowe with that goose step and the finish and everything. It's like, James Lowe.
Well, he marked his return really well after
that injury. It was pure skill.
I wasn't sure whether it was a really cocky step or like really flamboyant. It seems to be the way he is.
He plays with a smile on his face. Like, that's super rugby. Like, and the way I look at that is, forget about the defence. Like, just appreciate the attack because it was class.
Cool
to watch. Yeah. No, it was terrible.
Yeah, it was quite he's from New Zealand. And they were very expressive down there. Like, he did the goose step about 5 metres too early. Like, and your man still
bought it.
He sold down the river. It was ridiculous.
But it was a great little finish, and he ran the whole pitch. So he's obviously fit. He was able to sprint all the metres.
Yeah, he looks like he's in great shape.
Yeah. So do you think he'll get into the Six Nations squad? We'll see him now?
Yeah.
I like that positivity. Yeah. Who's he going to go in for?
I don't know. I'm not going to make the swap, but I think he'll get in.
Another winger that performed really well was Larmer. He had a great game.
He scored a nice try. That's one thing about that game. There's 3, 4, 5 good tries in that game. It was a really good game, really high tempo. We have the Larmer try here, actually.
Lovely kick through.
Great kick through by Harry Byrne.
It's ridiculous acceleration to get there. It speedy gets it because he's well behind the two lads in the first place. He does well to get it and does well to finish.
He's pace definitely proved it.
10 metre acceleration to get off the line.
Yeah, incredible.
He makes that look a lot easier than it is.
He made Reese Webb look so slow there.
Yeah.
Looked like he was running on quicksand.
It was great, a vision from Ross there. He had a really great game, didn't he? He was kicking really well. And how do you think they partnered up this weekend?
Good, yeah. It was interesting to see the two of them there. I mean, I always thought you would have put Harry at 10 and Ross at 12. So it was funny to see Ross at 10 and but then Harry gets man of the match then at 12. So it's an interesting one to get two lads on the pitch. Like, I mean, it's funny having your... the two brothers, like first and second.
It's really nice. Like, they know each other inside out. To play off each other, it must be like really nice to play with your brother as well.
Yeah.
Good to, like, chemistry, communication and everything, like, it just comes way more naturally.
Mm. Yeah, 100%. I actually thought they got men the match wrong because I thought Rathbone had an unbelievable game. They both just played
incredible.
Yeah,
they did, really good.
So, like, obviously just another great Leinster win, very dominant. We have some stats to go with that as well. 58% possession for Leinster. There was 10 offloads to only Ospreys 3 offloads, and Ospreys had to make 149 tackles and Leinster only had to make 81. So
pretty impressive. Yeah. Pretty dominant performance.
It was really poor from Ospreys at times, especially from Ethan Roots, you know, not claiming that ball from the kickoff in the air. It looked like he was afraid of the ball, which meant that Jamie Osborne got that lovely try. It was a great follow through and picked it up.
Yeah.
Just a really, really easy try for Leinster. Like, you know, it wasn't needed, but Ospreys, I just felt like they were not aggressive enough in the contact area and just they weren't coming up fast enough and really soft defence.
Yeah, exactly. Another good try in the game was from Reese Webb, where he found a little gap there, which is uncharacteristic of Leinster to have the gap there, isn't
absolutely. I'd say they're going to kill themselves over that one. You never see that. Like.
I know, it's very, very
straight through the middle.
It was good vision from Reese Webb and to finish it as well.
Yeah,
to step,
Luke McGrath clutching onto him, not quite there.
I know. We had Luke in the show here 2 weeks ago.
Sorry, Luke.
Sorry.
In fairness, so, like, the last time the two of them met in the RDS, Ospreys beat them, so I think they were kind of out to make prove a point and go, we're going to smash these guys this week. Yeah. How often do the Leinster lose in the RDS side? So you can count on one hand over the last 3 or 4 seasons how many times they have. So
we haven't spoke about, because Dave Kearney came back a couple of weeks ago. What do you think of making him be back on the wing?
Kearney's playing well, in fairness. I mean, what age is he now? Is he 33, 34? He's been riddled with injuries, but he always manages to get back. And when he gets back,
he had a really good game.
He's a good player. He's still a good player. Like, he's a good provincial player. Like, I think he's international career is over at this stage, but good player for Leinster to have back.
Yeah, we should have fellas like that. Internationals just
experience.
Exactly. Like, people like Adam Byrne there, Roy Loughlin, all those lads are there, Irish internationals. It's just Leinster at the top of the league now. Do you think they're going to stay there and that'll be it for the season?
We'll have
to see what happens this weekend, because Ulster are playing this afternoon. Not sure where they're standing in the table.
They're
now
just behind them, so they can overtake them, so they win it. So,
yeah, great. Irish province is in a very good place at the moment, so hopefully it stays that way. But less about the analysis, and let's move on to one of my favourite parts of the show, is figuring all the stuff out about our lovely guest, Dorothy Wall. We have 10 questions for you.
Okay, I'm ready.
Are you ready to go?
Yeah.
I promise they won't be too bad.
Okay.
The first one is quite one interesting one for me as well. How did you handle the transition between sevens and 15s?
Pretty well, I think. In terms of, like, when I first got into the Irish 15 squad in 2019, obviously going from sevens to becoming a back row forward, there's a lot of difference in line-out technicality and scrum, etc., and that sort of stuff. So that's a lot of detail that I've kind of had to pick up along the way, and I came in very raw in terms of that.
Yeah.
But from the sevens, in terms of, like, catch pass, like, work great, making your tackles, like, I think that's very transferable. So that was definitely a huge benefit for me coming into the 15s.
Did you feel like the sevens did really improve your game? Because fellas like Will Connors, who we've had on, and Hugo Keenan, they swear by the sevens and increasing their skills.
I wouldn't be the same player if I hadn't. Like, it's like an academy setup, which the girls don't have for 15s. So like you're in there 40 days a week, like you're grafting away, like it's skills under fatigue. It's exactly what you need going into any sort of performance team. So yeah, definitely got me to where I was.
Yeah, I remember, so I was in the sevens for the last couple of years and you were obviously with the women's, and you were always doing extras in the gym. Like, anytime you walk in, you walk in and Dorothy being on the bike.
Take it.
Anyway, I like got to say, it was like, surely Dorothy's not still in the gym. Is she?
Oh my God.
But like, it obviously paid off for you.
Yeah. Like, I'm enjoying my
genuine work. In the lads team, it was a bit like, sure, Dorothy's in the gym again.
Come
on, lads, you gotta work
harder. And look at her now, she got players player and young players. So look, it obviously paid off.
Thanks, great.
Stuff we don't see. But Pat has a question in from social media. He wants to know, who is your favourite teammate?
My favourite teammate.
Careful now.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's a question, like, whoever you say,
I know. I think Laura Feely. She's probably one of the most knowledgeable people I know. She's like, her people skills in terms of how she reads people and like how she can communicate different things with people is on such a level in terms of like getting the team to a different level. And she's a loose head, so there's so much like detail in terms of what she does in the front row. And I feel like that can be very underrated sometimes. So like in terms of her knowledge of how to work forwards around the pitch and She's also one of my best friends. So
that's lovely. Yeah, she's a lovely girl.
She's great. Yeah.
I have a question as well for you. What advice would you give to young girls who want to get involved in rugby?
I would say go for it and make sure that you have fun. Like, I think when you're younger, like, the only reason you're going to keep playing is if you enjoy it. So there's no point being too hard on yourself early on. So I'd say just try and enjoy it. Like, have a good group around you and, you know, take the wins and the losses, because that'll kind of build up your resilience into when you get into a more serious level.
Yeah. Oh, I love that.
Lovely stuff. Yeah. You've had a really good time with women's rugby as well. You made loads of good friends and stuff. It's a nice setup to be in.
Oh, it's a fantastic setup. Like, it's important to like keep your friendship up throughout, you know, after rugby as well. And I've fallen short a little bit on that just because I've had a family and things. And, you know, being back involved with House of Rugby and, you know, talking to you before the show, it's, friendship is the main thing while you do it.
Yeah. Like, you want to play for your people around you. Yeah. So, like, that's the difference.
It's so important, like, to just keep those friendships going.
Yeah,
you'll be back soon.
Well, next question we have for you, Dorothy, is your standout moment in an Irish jersey.
Probably my first cap back in February 2020. Junior Kira Griffin, our recently retired captain, she had like food poisoning or something, but she played the first half anyway. Wow. And it was my first cap and they were like, right, Junior's getting sick, you're on for 40 minutes. And I wasn't meant to get 40 minutes at all. I'd say it was more of a 15-20 minute kind of job.
Oh my God.
Ease me into it. But yeah, I got on.
Baptism of fire.
Yeah, exactly. So got on for 40 minutes and I think I got up and made a few hits that kind of settled me and kind of didn't do anything exceptional, didn't do anything too bad. And, you know, my parents were there and my dad said he nearly lost it when he saw me coming into half. He was so scared that I was going to do something really bad. He was like, didn't expect me to be on for that long. But definitely my favourite moment.
Lovely.
Who were you playing against for that game?
Scotland.
Oh, that's a good
game. Big game to win,
Yeah.
Big game, to start your first game, but coming off the bench your first game. But World Rugby have recently announced a new annual Women's 15s tournament. What do you think of that in terms of how it's going to help the growth of the game?
You just need games. Like, it's just like you see the lads like Munster, Leinster, Connacht, like the young lads coming up, they're getting high quality games like week in, week out. And that's the difference between the men's and women's game. It's actual game time. It's not learning these mistakes on an international platform in the Six Nations. It's learning them week to week for your club. So I think that's like, this is obviously an international thing, but I think game time is just something that we desperately need. So it's very positive.
Excellent.
It's really important that you say that, because you're 100% right. It is that game time that some international players who are getting like their first caps have missed out on. Do you know? So it's really, really important. Like you said,
I got my first club cap there about 3 weeks ago, for Blackrock.
Wow.
So, yeah.
No way.
Yeah. 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
You played for Ireland before playing club rugby.
Yeah.
You're joking. That is mad.
Yeah, so I suppose that's something that needs to be fixed.
Yeah, like that would never happen in the men's game.
No, like that's it. So like the routes through which the men's go through, like club, you know, sub-academy, academy, to like playing the big provincial matches to possibly an Irish squad. I suppose it's not the same, but we're working to get to
that's what we need to get set up. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
And do you think there's enough girls playing rugby to create a setup like that?
I think there's more and more coming up through the underage ranks. Like, there's huge work going in at grassroots, like to get like under eights, under tens, under 12s, and trying to like prevent that drop off from like secondary school to college, or like under 14 or under 16, where girls, like, you know, their friends may not be playing. It may not be the done thing at the time. So I think people are trying really hard to push that. So hopefully it'll play dividends in a few years to come.
You'd have to think as well, if that pathway is there properly, you're going to get more women playing rugby if they know it. There's a setup there that's built for them.
It's also the media coverage as well. It's progressively better over the last few years. So if they can see it, then that's really important.
Of course, definitely.
Huge. So how difficult has it been to balance your college work with your demands that is playing international rugby?
Yeah, I suppose it's like, I definitely, like in my first 2 years of sevens, like I'd never really experienced the hard work that goes in. Like, we were absolutely flattened. I remember being 18 and just like panned out for the day because you're so tired, like not used to that level of training or anything. Like, the three of us, myself, Emily and Megan Burns, they're both in the sevens as well. And we just used to be panned out, like we were wrecked. But then we got used to that level of like training and conditioning. So you kind of get acclimatized to it, and more kind of went into the college aspect of it then. But I recently left the sevens, so I'm kind of focusing on 15s and getting my degree so I can, you know, be more of an adult.
Yeah. But you're studying radiology, is that right?
Radiography.
Radiography, yeah. Sorry, so, yeah.
I'm in my third year. Yeah, yeah. It's been, you know, UCD have been really good to me in terms of like matches and different things I've missed and letting me make up hospital placement and stuff like that. So hopefully we'll keep going and get it done.
So you've left the sevens program now and you're just doing 15s in college. Yeah. And are you working as well on top of that?
I'm kind of like, I had a job there during the summer, but I haven't gone back to it yet. I'm kind of, once the AIL final is over, I might kind of think about getting a job then. But for now, I'm just trying to probably get my exams, Six Nations, hopefully win this.
You've enough on your plate.
And balance it all, yeah.
Oh, I'll need to at some stage. Like,
I have a career. A long finger.
Do you think you struggled to balance it with the sevens? Did you? Was it too intense?
Like so many people do it. Like, I think if, you know, it is hard, but like the amount of successful people that are in the program or that, you know, play professional sport, I wouldn't really use that as an excuse. It's probably more your organization around it, which granted probably could have been better for me in the past, but you kind of learn as you go, I feel.
It definitely is doable, like, but it's just you're spinning a lot of plates and you have to be very on top of yourself.
You have to be careful of burnout. Like, you have to be careful that you don't let yourself get to a place where you're not enjoying anything because you're so tired.
Exactly.
So you kind of need to self-preserve, I think.
And that's not even bringing in your private life. But the difficulty must be, like, you're at the top of your game. You're arguably the best women's player at the moment. And, like, you're seeing lads playing Six Nations and just they don't have to go do work. Like, do you find that hard to see that side of things?
Like, it is the difference in the two games, but...
Like, you're still training just as much as Bundy Akee and Joshua Van de Vleer.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. You know what I mean? And I suppose that's kind of... But, like, I suppose I've never played for the money. That's never been it. Obviously, you want to be on a par and you want that to become how it is.
Yeah.
I don't begrudge the men's teams for having that because I feel like that kind of... That wouldn't do me good right now in terms of I'm kind of focusing on my own process and what I can do myself, get through my college and things. I wouldn't say it's like a begrudgement. It's more of how we need to progress to get to that stage.
Yeah, yeah, brilliant.
On the back of that, I'm just saying, you know, you probably, even if you were in a full-time contract anyway, you'd still want something for yourself, like to go to college and get the qualifications and things that you'd like, won. So at least you had that balance. You could do that now as well.
A rugby career only lasts so long. Exactly. You really have to think about your end goal and, you know, where you want to be, what career you want to have.
Sure, someone like Lindsay Peat, like, playing well into her 40s.
Exactly.
She's an animal.
She's still going. Yeah. You
know what I mean? How is she still going? Was she on this weekend?
She wasn't. No, I'd say they're arresting her and keeping her for next weekend.
A machine. Oh, giving out secrets there now. So next question is from Stacey Flood, your teammate. Yeah. And she wants to know, can you show us your pinky finger?
This is my pinky.
Oh my God.
The top of it's
completely bent over.
And then my joint is actually fused. I broke it in the qualifying tournament in Parma way back in September. So I had two surgeries on it. And I was out of rugby for a while there after that. Kind of.
Jesus.
Oh my God. Is it a complete right angle? Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, you so like thing.
No, like the surgeons kind of came into me and were like, it's probably you're going to need a surgery in like 10 years when your playing career is over. Like, you can strap it for now. And I was like, great.
Yeah,
I'm worried about that when I'm 30.
Do you strap it now for every match? You have to have it strapped?
It doesn't impinge me too much. Like, I can still lift in the gym and stuff. Like, it's not the prettiest.
Dorothy, I've done similar. I've had surgery on mine. So it does get better.
This looks great.
Look, you see it?
And the big diamond ring was like,
It's fine. Like,
but put up both your hands. Stacey even messaged me saying something like, what fake tan are you using at the moment for the matches?
Stacey is absolutely ripping into me.
She had Coco Brown sending fake tan years ago into
us. Oh, yeah, it's essential for the match.
Same one you use, Greg, isn't it?
Yeah, the exact same one.
Same one I use in my beard as well. Coco Brown, perfect. Anyway, moving on. We've got another good question here, an interesting one, actually. Our friends over on House of Rugby UK, Sean O'Brien and Alex Good, had the CEO of World Rugby on recently, Anna Gilpin. And we see how England and France are flying ahead with their professional women's teams and how well they're doing. He suggested that Irish players should go over and play their rugby in England or France. What do you think of that?
Yeah, sure, that's a very easy, flippant thing to say, but there's a life as well for players. There's a college degree, there's family, friends. And should we have to leave the country to play for different clubs in England and France?
No.
Like, I think the goal now is to get the AIL to the level where it's on a par with these English and French clubs. And it may take a while, but I think the investment needs to be in the AIL for us for the next while to get it to that level so that Irish players are playing in Ireland and getting good quality game time to fuel provincial and Irish teams from there.
I think this definitely is the year for that, though. You can feel it, and even in the media, and speaking to Neve Briggs during the week, you know, you can see that we're building a phase now. Do you know, now that we haven't got the World Cup, we're starting to build the young players like yourself to get that experience. Yeah. And I think it's great that some of the players are over in London getting the exposure to that Premiership.
Oh, absolutely.
But if we keep our best, let's be selfish and just keep our best players here and create that Premiership style over here for the AIL, which I think it has the potential to do, then women's rugby is going to be flying.
These things take time, guys. We forget sometimes.
Yeah, it is time.
Even just men's rugby. Rugby in general only like turned professional properly in 95, rolling into 97. Like, it's, the game is still in its infancy. And look how long it took the men's game to get to where it is.
Yeah.
You know, the men's game has only really gotten big since, what, the last 10, 15 years, if that.
Mm.
So, like, the women's game is only really starting to get big in that time. So it's going to take time for all this to come in. But it seems like the right steps are being moved, even though we've got flipping comments like that from the CEO of our rugby, like, but
I know, like, I don't mean flipping, but
no, you're
like,
right,
there's
saying,
a lot more factors than just move overseas to play, because it's like you need to get back for Six Nations camps, you have a job, you have college requirements. It's not always as easy. Like, there's great players over in England, and to be fair, like, the experience they get is invaluable that they bring back into camp and they're playing at that level every week, but I suppose it's not as easy.
So realistic for most people. Most
players. I don't think so. Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. So there's been a lot of changes in the women's team recently in relation to coaching. Leah Briggs has come in.
Yeah.
What do you make of all that? How is the vibe in the team at the moment?
It's really exciting. So we've had like a few skill sessions and stuff like that. And, you know, what Greg is implementing is really good for, you know, our catch pass and kind of varying our skills and how we're going to play. And I think those of us who've been there before, it's nearly uncomfortable because he's pushing us to a place we haven't been.
Yeah.
So I suppose that's also the nature of, you know, elite sport, that you need to be pushed to a place where your skills are, you know, questioned and how you play is questioned. And I think he's definitely going to do that to us and bring on a whole new crop of players.
Is he bringing in a new way of playing really for you?
Like, we haven't... Obviously, we had one screening camp and then we're into our Six Nations camp. So there hasn't been it's kind of been more just play, like, and he's trying to just get some core stuff into us, which you can be seen coming out in the AIL. So it's very exciting.
Yeah. And how do you think the Six Nations will go for you?
Hard to know. I couldn't tell you right now. It's definitely a building process for us right now. I'm excited for it. I feel positive about it. It's, you know, it's our baby steps of building. So it'll be all about playing for each other and, you know, the culture within the team and stuff. So I'm excited to kick into that sort of stuff.
Yeah. I'm excited to see it myself because there's been so much talk about the women's rugby for the last couple of months.
Yeah.
All the issues, all the investigations, all this stuff.
Yeah.
Now you have a nice group of girls, great coaches, and there's a big tournament coming. Like, so I think there's going to be a lot
it's
of...
It's exciting. Like, it's not all negative. Like, we want to play as well. And I think it can, you know, my mindset is very much positive to actually get on the pitch and show what we're made of.
Yeah, I love that. Because there has been a lot of negative media chat and people do forget that you're all enjoying your rugby. You love being part of the Irish squad, and it's not all
you do because we love the sport.
Exactly.
Like, so that's kind of that's the end of the story, really. Like, we want to enjoy our sport.
I have a final question for you, Dorothy. Yeah. So what is more important to you, winning your Young Player of the Year, Players Player of the Year awards, or being announced as the joint winner of Butler's Bar Feathered Sports Annual Award 2021?
Oh, you put me on the spot here. No comment.
I have to ask, what's that second award? Sorry.
It's the sports bar at home. My dad would be very friendly with the guy who owns it and stuff. So they love getting, I was like joint, they love this now. Joint year winner, yearly winner with Ben Cohn, a jockey from home. So they brought us in and my dad was presenting the trophy.
Oh, that's so
real. Real nepotism, kind of.
We're all about grassroots rugby here at Bank of Ireland and stuff, and you saw that with Dingle last week, so that's more important. Like, it's club game is where it starts.
Don't tell RPI now.
Club game is where it starts. There'd be no RPI if there wasn't a club game, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Shout out to the dads. Where's your trophies at home?
Like he kind of likes to keep all the, he kind of stores the jerseys away, and he takes the medals and the things and he stores them away, and he's going to get them all framed and this. I don't know. I just leave him at it.
Proud dad. Proud dad. But a couple of more URC matches we're going to get onto. Thanks for the questions. Hope you enjoyed it.
No, I did. Thank you.
Excellent. But first up, big win for Connacht against Scarlets. Their first time beating Scarlets and in the Park of Scarlets ever.
Yeah, 29-23 Connacht won. Because they've lost something like, I'm going to throw it out there, 6 of their last away wins or away matches. Mm-hmm. And they've only won now again away in Parky Scarlett's first time ever. So good performance, but I'm pretty sure Scarlett's were quite depleted. 19 players missing, 13 of them injured and 6 away in the Welsh squad. So maybe kind of a black asterisk beside that away.
Come here, Connacht are missing a few players as well, in fairness. And like, you know, the likes of Super Mac Hansen and Bundyaki and stuff like that. Big players, 70 missing. So
yeah,
still
13
still,
players is a lot.
13 is a lot, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy. But they played well. There was a really, Tom Daly was back in the centre, had a great game. Did you see that the crossfield kick, the mess up?
Yeah, that he plucked from the air. Yes.
Oh my God.
You'd be kicking yourself.
Gonna be killed on Monday morning review for that one. But so, I think he saw the physio on the pitch and he was like, oh, Connacht must not be ready to go, so I'll do something quick.
Yeah.
Kicked it directly at the physio.
Yeah.
Tom Daly plucks it out of the air and just gives it to Sam Ireland. Sam Ireland scores again. So Maryland can't stop scoring nowadays. Yeah.
It's a shame he's going to breathe next year. Like, I'm surprised, maybe, obviously. Yeah. You know what I mean? But I'm disappointed because he's playing good rugby here at the moment, and he never really got that chance in the Ireland squad. He's been close. He's been in camps.
Yeah. I chatted to Sammy today. I've been good mates with him. I lived with him for 2 years back in Munster.
Well, and, how much did he get?
He's doing all right. Nice to the contracts now, in fairness. But because he's well able to play at that level and he has his Irish cap, and I think he's quite satisfied. He played for Ireland, he really enjoyed his time at Connacht, and he just wants to experience life. And that's what he said to me. He's like, man,
can't begrudge him that.
He's like, I don't need to live in Ireland all my life. Yeah, I want to go to France. I think he's moving over with his missus over there, just a new way of life. Like, so he's dead right. And he said he might move on to Japan after that or something else and make the most out of it while he can.
Well, Paddy Butter's been over definitely in Japan now as well. So,
exactly. Yeah.
Former Shannon man.
Yeah, exactly. Good Shannon man. So they're like, Ireland's great and there's great, but if you're not really getting into the Irish squad,
there's more to it.
Do you need to be sitting in Munster? Like, do you know what I mean?
It's a life experience, and as you said, like, it's probably better money as well, and it's different. It's
to quantify it.
Same with Alton Delane, who's going over to
La Rochelle, isn't it?
La Rochelle.
That'll be fantastic for him.
What a lifestyle choice, like, to be able to have the opportunity to go over and do something like that. Like, so
that's what you want.
Yeah, 100%. But anyway, back to the game.
I know, but did you find Connacht were really implementing the same kind of back moves as the Irish team? So obviously Jack Carthy was back. How do you think he got on? Yeah. I found like he was a little bit frustrated at times. You know, when the balls went down, you could see his kind of reactions. He's getting frustrated when things weren't going his way.
Yeah.
You know, especially after last week, you know, he's 96 camo for Ireland. I feel bad for him a little bit. He's getting a bit of a bad press.
So
he's in the firing line again, isn't he?
He did seem a little bit frustrated on the pitch, didn't he? Yeah, I think just things weren't going his way. But
look what happened with Ireland, like the two chances he's had, what happened with the World Cup and then last week, then they coming on, or sorry, 2 weeks ago coming on, and that trying that forward pass like straight on the pitch, like he can't seem to catch a break with Ireland. Maybe that's affecting him a bit mentally.
I'd say he's actually grand. Like, he got into the Irish team, he got his cap, obviously it wasn't ideal, like, but you know, you can't expect to come on and play unbelievable straight away. And he's playing well with Connacht, so I'd say he's fine. It was a wet day as well over in Scarlett's, cold wet day, so I'd say he'd be grand.
A huge moment at the beginning, the first try, Johnny Williams. That was a massive try from him. It was something that he would do for Wales. So you've seen him do that against England a couple of times.
Yeah, the chip through. Yeah, it was very good.
Slowly,
it was very, very well done. But Connacht had no one in the back line or the backfield there, which I thought was quite mad. There was no covering blindside wing or...
They were coming up really, really hard in defence, which kind of left that back real empty, like you said. It was great vision.
Great vision. That's why Kieran Marin
was there.
Would you have someone covering there when you're that far in your own
I suppose they had the 15 up on the line, like, so I suppose it's how you want to play. Do you keep...
You wouldn't expect them to kick from that proximity.
You wouldn't,
I wouldn't expect the fullback to be there now.
Yeah, but you'd always want someone kind of half aware of it, like something.
Situation.
Yeah, yeah. Kieran Marmion even like coming around. He's obviously going to be sweeping there somewhere. And it was his actually 200th cap. Another player this weekend had 200 caps. So it's himself, David Coyne, and Sean Cronin, I believe, was 200 cap as well.
Yeah.
So it's great to see all these lads getting 200 cap. Fair play to them.
A lot of games are rugby. You know what I mean? Yeah. It really is. Like,
So, Dorothy, you'll be back in a few years' time. For Leinster?
One more game anyway. It was Glasgow and Bennett, and not too much to talk about there, but Glasgow doing well. Glasgow up second in the table, 5 wins on the trot. could be their season. It could be a dark horse there, like to maybe pip the likes of Leinster Ulster to the title.
Yeah, they were going well. Glasgow had a good game. I know they're only going up against Benetton, but they still played really well. They're, is it Smith was the fullback for them?
He had
an unbelievable game.
His try was like boshing forwards out of the way. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, he boshing two forwards out of the way. I think we have that for one of the try of the week nominations. Yep. But he also scorched up the pitch at one stage as well. Yeah. So he has power and speed.
Yeah.
So he was really impressive. And Benetton just weren't up for it. You know.
Cardiff were due to Bez Ebert as well, but unfortunately that was called off due to the bad weather. But we're just getting the Ulster score in. Obviously, we're filming this on a Sunday. 12-0 win for them. So they're after overtaking Leinster in the top of the URC table. Leinster have a game in hand there, but not bad. Old Darren Cavan, absolutely delighted. You won't be there for long, Darren, but sure look.
Yeah, it's a great win. That's all Irish provinces won this weekend, so good stuff for Irish rugby,
Yeah, excellent. Moving on, we'll just have a look back. We haven't done this properly in a while because of the cancellations in the Six Nations, but we've got three cracking tries to look at for the try of the week. First up, this absolute beauty from James Lowe. So Lowey obviously making his comeback through injury, and the most outrageous ghost you're ever going to see.
That's poor defence from that winger though. Come on.
Super rugby rules. You just forget about the defence and you just appreciate the attack.
Yeah, fair. Shout out to Ross Byrne as well for having the balls to do the cross kick there in the 22.
Yeah.
The very true.
Yeah, on the money to Jimmy and then...
This angle is ridiculous. Look at it. Yep.
The winger didn't want to tackle him at all.
Yeah. Great stuff. Fresh legs off the bench. Scores a try back off injury. So
it looks even better with the hair because the hair bouncing.
Yeah. In the same match then, we have a Reese Webb try. He goes in from 40 metres out. Show go. Goes in a gap there at pillar. And then does Lukey McGrath, friend of the show.
Lukey.
Yeah, and in for a try, which is great. Great finish. International winger though. Like he's incredible, Reese Webb. So
that's a nice step in fairness.
Yeah, it was.
He looked very tiny,
got like a little bit hard-footed there, didn't he?
Yeah.
And the third one, the one I mentioned earlier, Johnny Williams opening try for Scarlets. Lovely kick through. Great vision. And
That's a lovely take. That's a lovely finish. Really nice finish. Now, the kick is beautiful. The finish, fantastic.
Yeah, he's done it a couple of times for Wales and stuff. So it's that'll definitely be an analysis for any team coming up against Scarlets.
Yeah. Definitely.
Right, so Dorothy, we'll ask you first. Who are you voting for?
Reese Webb.
Reese Webb?
Yeah.
Greg?
I have to go for James Lowe on his return.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you, Greg. James Lowe, I like that.
I'll give it to Lowe, sorry.
I knew the three. Otherwise,
we're going to have to divide it up then, and then we've got two winners. Like, so, do you know what? I'm going to give it to Johnny Williams.
James Lowe wins anyway, so. Yeah. Good stuff.
Moving on, my favourite award, the jukebox of the week. First up is this Mike Collins textbook tackle on Jimmy O'Brien. I love to see stuff like this. So kick in behind here. It's just
It's a great kick by Jimmy O'Brien, in fairness to him, find a space down in the flanks there, but he just gets caught.
It's just good. It's a nice, good legal tackle. It hits him nice and hard and two arms wrapped around. It's a good smash.
A little basic tackle.
Yeah. Next one is from Ollie Smith. He's actually carrying the ball here. He bursts through two players, one of them being a second row, and finishes it off. So great aggression and strength there from the Glasgow 15.
You're 15 blowing through a second row like that. He's a big boy in fairness, but that's an impressive finish.
And the third one is Keane Healy's carry in the build-off for Lamar's try against Ospreys.
Healy obviously out to prove a point. Like, I mean, he hasn't got much of a run at the moment with this. That's tough with Porter and Furlong there at the moment.
Lovely bit of leg drive.
Yeah, Keane Healy played well. He scored a try in that game as well. But who would you vote for jukebox of the week?
Keane Healy,
nice.
Nice carry.
I want to give it to the Ali Smith one because I just love the fact that he blows a second round if he's a full back.
Yeah. Megan?
I'm going to go with Mike Collins. I love just a basic good tackle. And really simple.
Really?
You've got the same vote.
Definitely Ollie Smith. Like, for 15 to do that to a second row, it's just serious strength. So.
Ollie Smith it is, guys.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, moving on to other news, guys. Obviously, we've spoken about the Women's Six Nations, but only a month or so to go now. How are you feeling about the campaign coming up?
Yeah, I'm really excited. I'm looking forward to getting into the Six Nations camps and seeing what he wants out of us and what we can do and what personnel is going to be there and how we can work towards a good Six Nations. Really, really excited.
Definitely. A really exciting point is TikTok have come on as the main sponsors. I must be showing my age now because I've never used TikTok.
Ever?
Ever.
It's really addictive.
Or I'm just probably really lame.
It is.
I've never used it up until about 2 weeks ago when we started to use it for Rugby Joe, and It is, yeah. It's very much a younger audience, but it's fun.
I feel like it's the up and coming kind of platform, definitely.
But it's great to see, you know, if the younger generation know about TikTok, then they'll know about the rugby.
It's great.
TikTok are absolutely massive. Like, it's huge money coming into the women's game. You've also got the fact that it's going to be on RT and Virgin, so it's going to be
excellent
coverage. Like, that's what you need. More eyes, more money, more bums and seats.
This is it. You know what I mean?
This is what it's all about. Like, and this is what's going to grow the game. This is how the men's game grew, and this is how the women's game is going to grow.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
Do you feel a little bit of pressure now that you obviously spoke up and you get what you deserve now? Sponsorships coming in, viewership's coming in. Now you have to like perform. Is there a pressure there for that? Or do you feel whatever happens, happens?
I feel like there's a pressure to perform always. I suppose I don't really think about it like that. And I think if you do, sometimes you can kind of wind yourself into a place that isn't the most positive in terms of how you're going to play. So no, I haven't thought about that. I suppose I'm just gonna try and play as I usually do, and I think the team ethos should follow that as well.
Definitely.
Rather than focusing on kind of outward stuff.
And how is your team ethos there? Is it good group?
The screening camp I was in there a few weeks ago, it was really nice, like, to meet players I hadn't met before. Like, there's serious skill set like all over the country and everything, and I really enjoyed it. Like, there wasn't, like, everyone was chatting, like, it was very good vibes in there, just trying to get the best out of the few days that they had. So
class.
Yeah, it's nice, really good crew of girls, I think, definitely.
It's nice to see other players, like you said, you haven't seen before.
Yeah,
to put their hand up and get a chance to try and get into the squad. I think that's what's paramount for their success.
It's really important. Opportunities. Yeah, absolutely. Like, it's fresh, I suppose. That's kind of what he's looking at, everyone. So it's great.
Definitely.
Another important thing as well, RTE and Virgin Media are making it free and available for everyone to watch. Yep. How important do you think that is, for it to be accessed to everybody?
Oh yeah, like that's the little girls and stuff who can see it at home, and, you know, other people who may not have known much about the women's rugby, for it to be on TV more and for media to be covering it more is just, it's great. Like, it's another step in the right direction.
Mm. And what's the hope for the tournament? Do you think you can win it, or...
Obviously that's always the goal. I think it's going to be ticking off small goals ourselves, getting our processes right, you know, in terms of what he wants from us and what we want out of each match. I think it's going to be small goals and small wins for us that will lead to big wins. So right now I couldn't tell you, because we actually haven't been in, but in terms of my own mindset, it's going to be ticking off small things to get to a bigger thing.
Might be a cliche, like, but it's as with the men, I'm sure the men, they went into the Six Nations, they wanted to win it. But you take it week by week, like, of course you want to win it, of course, but you take it a game, like, it's all you can do is take it game by game and see what happens.
It has to be the small wins that get you to the overall.
You have to be realistic as well, you know, like, you're in that kind of building phase, and I had an opportunity during the week to speak to assistant coach of the women's team, Niamh Briggs, and she gave us a little insight to where you guys are at, a little bit about yourself as well, Dorothy, and the expectations she has for the camp.
We've got to be very aware that and very realistic in terms of our goals that we're going to set for ourselves. That's something I'm sure we'll do over the first camp or two. The likes of England, France, Scotland, Wales, they're all going, Italy, they're going to a World Cup in September. We're not, so we're in a building phase. We're in a very much a developmental rebuilding, and that's fine with us. And we just got to look after ourselves. We've got to concentrate on making sure that, you know, that we're building nicely in terms of getting players up to international test level as quickly as possible, which is a big challenge. And making sure that we give them enough tools to be able to equip themselves the most. Yeah, I met Dorothy Wall for the first time when she was in secondary school in Rockwell. I coached her for a little bit, and she blew me away, because even when she was in secondary school, she was as tall and had big shoulders and as physical as she is now. I've, you know, been a huge admirer of her as a player, but also as a person. I think that's more important. She's a wonderful role model for young girls and guys. And I know that in Feathered, you know, she's very much a bit of a superstar in kit.
Dorothy, how do you feel about Niamh Briggs coming on? You know, she's a legend in her own right in the squad as well.
Yeah.
Coming on as your assistant coach, how do you feel about that?
I'm very excited. I'm a huge fan of Briggsy. I think she's a really smart coach who can give a lot to this team and who's been through all the processes, who's been there for years and was really successful with an Irish team. So she knows what it takes to be successful with an Irish women's team, which I think is going to be really important.
That's it, exactly. It's great. I think it's really good having Niamh in there. I know her from the rugby side of things as well. And she, it's good to have someone in there that's been there and done it, bought the t-shirt. Absolutely. Like, she knows what you're thinking. Like, it's great you could have these male coaches coming in, but they haven't done it. Like, they haven't been through the women's system.
Absolutely. Yeah. And she's been successful. Like, she knows what it is to be successful. So we need to know what it is to be successful.
And understanding women as well is really important.
Like, very complex.
You know,
there's a lot going on.
There's so many emotions. It's crazy. Like,
oh no, it is true though. Yeah, like, you have to be understanding. You're juggling a lot. Like, there's a lot of different.
I'm glad you understand that.
We're very lucky. It's very lucky me. You didn't say that.
Yeah. Funny, I've chatted to a few male coaches that have coached the men's and the women, and they say their mindset going into sessions are completely different dealing with us to dealing with the women, which I thought was really, really interesting. Like, I'd never thought it would go down to that little intrinsic details of, oh no, we speak to the women in this way, speak to the men in this way, and
it's actually quite interesting. It will be interesting to know from those coaches' perspectives, like, you know, how to it is, it's an interesting one. I think someone should do a study on it.
Exactly. Well, that's what's great, having people like Niamh in, who obviously knows how to chat away to you. Yeah. Like, you know, she's been there and done it. But yeah, there's the other rugby news to speak about as well, isn't there?
Yeah, moving on, obviously, we flip over to the men's game. This will be obviously disappointment that loss against France, but we get back on the saddle again, and it's up next. It's Italy. Sexton's going to be back fully fit. I personally don't think he should start the game against Italy, but that's... that's another question. Ronan Keller is going to be out, and then we've got, like, okay, do we bring James Lowe in back after that? Yeah. What do you think, Dardy?
It's a lot of questions there. About the James Lowe.
More so for the Italy game coming up, do you think they should chop and change it or keep the top team out there?
So he was only just back for Leinster this week.
Yeah.
That's pretty fast. Like, who are you dropping though? Like,
You know what Andy Farrell's like.
I don't think you can drop him.
No. Yeah. Andy always seems to be really consistent with picking those same squads. You know, you've noticed even last year, like, he is... I don't think he's going to change it, to be honest.
Do you think he's going to still go with the full strength squad out against Italy, just to keep the cohesion and keep everyone running together, I feel there's going to... I probably eat my words now, I come back and say this. I feel he's going to chop and change. He's going to give guys a bit of game time. You're going to see, like, Robbie Henshaw come in and hopefully get, like, 60, 70 minutes. People like James Hume get some time. Jack Carty, you'd hope to see that because... Yeah. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
I think it's worth it because then they're taking over. They've had the minutes, so that if they're needed, that they have the test matches under their belt.
That's the thing.
This is a crucial period for Ireland at the moment because you're coming into this New Zealand tour, and lads, the World Cup is only next year. There isn't that many more games, so now is the opportunity. We were only speaking about that last week. The World Cup is next year. It's just because the last 2 years vanished into thin air because of COVID. We're like, oh no.
Yeah.
So if there's ever an opportunity to get guys more minutes and, you know, get them test caps and get them out playing for Ireland. It's now against Italy at home. No offense to Italy.
The tough balance they're going to have, I'd say, is because the boys lost against France, they're all going to be itching to get out there again on international stage and play well. Yeah. But then you want to play the younger fella as well, like Mike Lowry, give him a few minutes. I don't think he got an Irish cap previously. He hasn't played in the Six Nations.
No, I
think it's actually a perfect opportunity to give those lads a run. Definitely.
Yeah. And obviously you mentioned Ronan Kelleher got injured there. He actually got picked up the knock in the French game.
Yeah.
He's out for the rest of Six Nations. But
that's disappointing.
Commiserations to him, but then Dan Sheehan played so well in that game.
Not a bad replacement.
That's ridiculous that they're both in Leinster, like, the two.
Yeah, he wants Dan to go on to Munster. It's not a bad idea.
I know.
It isn't.
It's not a bad idea.
I just think there are a few names. Separate them, get them both playing every week. And obviously, the Munster Hookers aren't going to like me saying that, but
that's what we did with Joey Carberry, and it worked. And speaking of the man himself, I actually had an opportunity to chat with him, and it looks like he thinks Ireland can still go all the way.
I think we've always got a chance. In previous Six Nations tournaments, it's often come down to the last game, and like, anything can happen. So I think all we need to do now is focus in on Italy, do the best we can, and then deal with Scotland and deal with England as well after that. So I suppose there's always a chance, and we're still excited as ever. And obviously we would have liked to Saturday to have gone better, but look, we're still in with a chance, so we'll keep going.
Good to chat to a good, honest, born and bred Munster man.
Did he give you much insight during the week?
Yeah, he was good. He's a nice guy to chat to, in fairness to him. Just kind of chat. It was for Tackle Your Feelings with the campaign with the Rugby Players Ireland. And obviously, there's a guy who's been through a lot in the last 3 years with injuries. And I spoke to him about, like, how tough it's been for him to deal with all that. And obviously dealing with the pressure of that monkey on his back that he's Johnny Sexton's heir to the successor, heir to the throne, and just said, look, he's got a good support group around him. He's got like good family, good friends, and he doesn't read too much about this.
Johnny Sexton's not paying attention to what they're saying.
Like.
No.
Yeah, I'd know Joey a good few years, and knowing him, he's probably sick to death of being like, who's going to replace Johnny, the new Johnny Sexton? Like, he's his own Joey Carver.
Correct.
Absolutely. Just bring something different. He's been around for years as well now. So it's like, I'd say he's sick to death, but he's obviously not going to go out and say that. Like, you know?
But they used to say that about Brendan O'Gara, didn't they? Johnny Sexton was going to be the new Brendan O'Gara.
Yeah, Johnny Sexton is Johnny Sexton now.
Yeah, do you know what I mean?
That's what happens when you've got. It's such a pivotal position at half, and the fact that we have struggled to replace Johnny, like, it's at the moment, like, we've so many players in so many positions, it's like, okay, what happens when Johnny retires in 10 years time or whatever, the way he's going at the moment, he'll probably still be playing late, well into his 40s.
And Doherty, how do you think the Six Nations will go for the Ireland men's team?
I think it's positive. Like, I think they're kind of, you know, they had the loss last week, but even in terms of how they were in the November series, I remember Peter Romani speaking after it, and he just was really good vibe off him in terms of where the Irish team is. So I think they're going to take that loss, and I think they're really going to use it and go well in the next few games. And I think if these new lads like get a run, like, you know, add something more to against Italy, I think it'll be really positive as well. But
do you think they can win the championship?
I think they do have the potential, yes. Will they? I'm not sure. But yeah, I think they definitely have the potential to.
You've got to be scared. I think they definitely, as you said, they can go over to England and beat Twickenham.
Absolutely.
They will probably beat Italy at home. They're well capable of beating Scotland. The thing I'd be worried about is France doing a Grand Slam.
France are the major weapon.
Who's going to stop France now?
I think France are away to England and away to Scotland. I'm pretty sure, which they might slip up, like,
that's,
you know?
That's the thing. So, but I don't know, like,
France, the first two games were at home, I believe, for France, which is huge.
Yeah, they love
fortress,
a home crowd.
It's a cauldron. Over there.
My gut feeling says that France are going to slip up at some way along the way.
Against England?
England or Scotland, I think. Scotland are good.
Scotland have been very good. It's an interesting one.
They bring random moments of brilliance, don't they?
The French are always, they love it on the cup. Like, they're as good as they are, they always seem to slip up. And that's when they haven't won a Six Nations in over a decade. Like, so pressure's on them.
One thing that kind of does worry me about France is that they're so laser focused on the World Cup next year that this is all a massive plan that's been going on. And when the French focus, it's a scary place because they're so good. You know what I mean? So we'll see. But hopefully Ireland can now get all the wins, and we'll see a Six Nations championship from home.
Definitely. Some other news. Obviously, Ty Byrne is signing a long-term contract. I love that. Like, so when you think back, 2016, released by Leinster. 2017, goes to Scarlets to have one more shot, wins the Pro 12. Last year, Lyon, and now he actually got a central contract from Ireland.
Yeah, he's ridiculous.
You know, there's a guy who just didn't give up and just kept
his
at
mentality,
it.
Must be so strong.
Yeah,
brilliant.
Incredible.
He was working as a pizza delivery driver.
I remember reading that.
Really?
He gave it all up,
Wow.
And he just kept at it. And it's a good success story. It's never too late, I suppose.
It's true. Yeah. But another contract as well. Josh Van de Flair got offered another contract, which was obvious.
I'd say he got good money this time around. The form he's on at the moment. He was good at the negotiating table. Leo Cullen, another big one as well. Only a year. Mm-hmm. So he only signed a year contract last year with a rolling contract with an option for another year this year. So that's something to keep an eye on. So he's only contracted until the end of 2023 now. He's keeping his options open. Like, you'd imagine he's someone he'd want to tie down for 3 or 4 years. Is he an eye on somewhere else? Or?
I don't know. I'd say he's just done so well in Leinster. He's done it all. I'd say he might have his eye somewhere else. Yeah. Does he want to get the Irish job? I don't ever know.
Because you'd imagine they would want to keep him. That's him, I'd say, that said he only wanted a year, not Leinster offered. Mm. They would offer much more than a year if they could.
So. There's only one way for him to go is coaching Leinster, because he's at the top for how many years? Do you know what I mean? Get out while you're on top. But another bit of news was the South Africa joining the Six Nations.
Yeah.
That the chit chat was that they were going to possibly be joined in 2025, but then the Six Nations came out saying that they're not chatting to them at all, so a bit of a he said she said kind of situation, isn't it?
It was the Daily Mail, in fairness, that broke the article saying that Italy were getting thrown out.
You can't believe anything they can say.
No offense, but
Greg, you've been in the Daily Mail a few times, haven't you?
For the wrong reason.
What's that
for
saying
now?
But I remember doing a poll even on Rugby Joe, and everyone was like, no, as much as we complain about Italy and the fact that they can't win to save their lives, you can't just throw them out of Six Nations and go, we want South Africa. Like, you know
they
what I
always
mean?
Put up a fight, though. Like, there's sometimes you don't think you're going to beat Italy because they do start well sometimes, I think, but then they just kind of break down. Like, I think better teams break them down over the course of the 80 minutes.
There's always the argument to have kind of a B Six Nations League. Like, you know, you could have like a Georgia in there, Italy in there. You could have, there's loads of Fiji are playing really well now. Just things like that, that you could create it, but that's a whole new kettle of fish. There's so much more finances have to do that. But as you said, South Africa joining would be cool, but Italy, just they won't be able to survive, I don't think.
Yeah.
Like, it would stop rugby like stone dead in Italy. Do you know? Yeah.
We're trying to grow the game, get rid of an entire nation of rugby. Like, that's
the Six Nations just need to provide the resources that they have into probably younger players, younger generation in Italy to be able to provide them with the best chance to perform.
Yeah, but football is their major sport down there. Like, so,
They're not bad at it. But let's, unfortunately, that's all we've got time for. Darty, thanks for coming up. Did you enjoy it?
Oh, I love the chats,
Thanks very much, Darty. Appreciate it.
You're amazing.
Fortunately, guys, that is all we've got time for. Darty, thanks a million for coming on. Hope you enjoyed it.
Thank you very much. I really enjoyed it. Love the chats.
Yeah, brilliant to have you on, Darty. Thanks very much. And of course, thank you to our sponsors, Bank of Ireland, proud supporters of the four Irish provinces.
Joe presents House of Rugby, United Rugby Championship, together with Bank of Ireland, proud supporter of the four Irish provinces.